Congregation, please rise in our processional hymn is hymn number 289, Angels We Have Heard on High, hymn 289. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus the Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise for the invocation, the Kyrie, and the hymn of praise found on page and following, page 138. The grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Our hymn of praise is hymn number 244. We sing verses 1 and 4 only at this time. Rejoice, rejoice, believers. Hymn 244, verses 1 and 4. Through Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 to 11 and 16. Now when the king David was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent, in a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more, as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalmody is from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. And we'll read it responsively. Mary said,
my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior.
For the Lord has looked with favor on the lowliness of God's servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed.
For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is God's name.
The Lord's mercy is for those who fear God from generation to generation.
The Lord has shown strength with his arm. The Lord has gathered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts.
The Lord has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly.
The Lord has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty.
The Lord has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy.
According to the promise the Lord made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 16, verses 25 to 27. Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus the Christ, according to the revelation of the secret for long ages, but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings made known to all the Gentiles, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God, through Jesus the Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Gospel for today, the fourth Sunday of Advent, the fourth Sunday of the new church year. It's from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. We stand in honor of the gospel in our midst, the word of God, but because of the length of the gospel today, I invite you to be seated so that you're not distracted by how long it's going to take. And then you may follow along or simply listen. Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he, Gabriel, the angel, came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was confused and afraid by his words, and wondered and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus, Yeshua in Hebrew, Joshua in English, which means God saves. God is our salvation. He will be great, Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The text for today's sermon is from the Gospel of Luke, the first and second chapters of that book. Let us pray in preparation for the sermon at this time. Lord, now let the meditation of you and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight. You who are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. Before I begin the sermon, dig out your bulletin and look at the cover. Merry Christmas, all you men. Okay? Sorry, women, you're left in the lurch. But Merry Christmas, all you men. I received this Christmas card when I was a pastor 30-some years ago up in Montana, and I've saved it in my files all those years. Because you usually don't. Go home. People don't send Christmas cards anymore. Some of you make them. It's wonderful. But people don't send them anymore. But go home and look through. I have a whole basket that I keep. Used to have 100 cards in it. I think this year I had maybe 60. But go home and look through your cards and see if you can find any Christmas card with Joseph as the center of attention. Merry Christmas, gentlemen. Because Joseph gets a bad rap, unless we're in the Matthew's Gospel, which we're not. We're in the Markan year this year, the second year, year B. But I love this picture because Mary's been through labor, right? Yeah, she looks really good, too, for all that she's been through. But she's been through labor, and I think Joseph did, too. But he's holding the baby Jesus, and it's amazing. Go home on the Google machine and find out why the donkey's there. That's pretty obvious. I've been calling myself a donkey all Advent because I've just been delivering gifts. You know, that's what Mary did. She was the God-bearer in Greek, the bearer of God. But the donkey carried her to Bethlehem. And maybe at coffee hour sometime this next year, like in January, women, why would you, at 9 months pregnant, want to ride the back of a donkey? Wouldn't you rather walk? I wrote a letter to some friends of mine who were pastors and a bishop, and I said, what's going on? I've been thinking about this. I mean, I've never been pregnant, I've never been a woman, I've never been married, never had a baby, all that stuff, you know that. But riding on a bony back of a donkey? From Nazareth to Bethlehem? There had to be a better way, you know? Joseph should figure. But I love this bulletin cover because Joseph is not just in the background. Go home and Google the donkey, but also the sheep and then the rooster. Most people don't know the story about the rooster morning. They think of the rooster at the arrest of Jesus before the cock crows. You'll deny me three times in that. But go home and Google rooster. Okay, I won't take it. So Merry Christmas, gentlemen. And then another thing before I begin the sermon. I was listening to the radio this past week about the war in Gaza and Israel and all that stuff. And we'll be praying for them today. Bethlehem. There's a Lutheran church in Bethlehem. And Bethlehem is a tourist trap. I mean, you know, Jerusalem, Bethlehem, that's how they get most of their money, is tourism. We get that, okay, especially this time of the year. They have very few tourists because of the war. But the Lutheran church in Bethlehem, and I think it was called the Evangelical Lutheran Church, and Google it and prove me wrong. I think it was the Evangelical Bethlehem. They have the creche up front by the altar.
But instead of a manger that baby Jesus is laying in, he's laying on a pile of rubble. They brought in rubble and bricks and stones and dirt, and they put it next to Mary and Joseph, and they laid the baby on top of it. And I think that's pretty artistic and telling of what's going on in that land. So I leave that with you, along with Joseph, at the manger. Today is Angel Sunday. The fourth candle's finally been lit. Tonight, at 7 o'clock, we'll light the Christ candle, the center candle. We've been waiting for a whole month to do that. But the fourth candle is called the angel candle, and appropriately so. In the worship, throw them away today, take them with you, read them this afternoon, after you get done wrapping presents, is all about angels. And the gospel for today, appropriately so, is the Annunciation. When Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, comes to Mary, a lot of Christmas cards have that too, and then announces that you will bear a son, and that whole story, okay? You are with child, you know? Here's this teenage girl, I believe that, like other theologians, or a very young woman who has never been with a man, and you're with child? Huh? You know, what kind of greeting is that? Hail, little favored one. And then the angel says, do not be afraid. And I think that's so important. You've heard that for 15 years from me from this pulpit. Be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Well, gee, thanks. I need that kind of favor of being pregnant with a child, my firstborn. And it's not even Joseph's? What? Bless Joseph. In that one passage from Luke, chapter 1, verse 26 to 38, we've got Mary being favored by God, perplexed, which is a nice English word for, thoughtful, pondering these things in her heart, and then she's afraid. And bless her. Never been a woman, never been pregnant, never gave birth, but I'd be afraid. Especially being told that by an angel? And we're going to get into that in a second, the angel thing. But that's not the only story we have today. Tonight at 7 o'clock, we will read the nativity story, and I want to share part of that with you today. Not the whole thing, but the part that I'm going to reflect on here. Luke chapter 2 now. This should sound familiar. For 64 years, I've heard this story. I thought about this week. 64 years, I've heard this story. I'm 64 years old. For 60 years, I comprehended it. Just like Charlie and Victoria, thank you for being here. For 60 years, I comprehended it. But it was like, huh? This week, I looked at it in a totally different way. So pretend like you've never heard this story before, okay? It should sound familiar, but pretend like you've never heard it. Look, that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord, Angel Sunday, right, fourth Sunday of Advent, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. King James Version doesn't whitewash it like, oh, she was afraid, meek and mild a little. No, they were terrified. They were scared out of their robes. And I think Mary was too. But the angel said to them, the shepherds, do not be afraid. Yeah? Do not be afraid, for see, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. A sign for you, you will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger, feed trough. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, so we don't even have one angel with the shepherds, we've got a multitude. We've got the Mormon Tabernacle Choir all of a sudden there, you know? Saying, glory to God in the highest, heaven and earth, peace among those whom God favors, to be inclusive of women and children, not just all men. When the angels had left them and gone to heaven, okay, that's the first part we're going to look at, but then the second part. When the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. What? So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. These are shepherds. I was trying to think the equivalent of that. I was thinking UPS drivers. The angels came to the UPS drivers and they went to the manger and said, you wouldn't believe what happened. Okay, we're going to talk about that in a minute. When they saw this, they had known all they had been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them, another polite old English word,
treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned praising God for all they had heard and seen as they had been told to them. Okay. Call me a jaded old pastor at 64. Okay? Heard this story for 64 years, comprehended it for 60 of those years. And this week I was thinking, angels. Now, I've had parishioners say that they've seen angels at the foot of their bed, whether it's their bedroom or the hospital room or the nursing home. I've had people say that angels have visited them, and I don't discount that at all. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But I was thinking UFOs. This week I was seeing UFOs and Martians. Because how many of them had ever seen an angel before? Now, whether they had halos and cherubim and seraphim and all that, they maybe didn't. But there was all of a sudden, there was a Mormon Tabernacle Choir, the heavenly host, singing with them. The one angel that announced everything. Pat Chase, bless her little heart. I miss her dearly, but I am in contact with her every week. I sent her newspaper crossword puzzles, and then we talk about People Magazine. She got me hooked on People Magazine. I would give her crossword puzzles. Every week she'd give me the People Magazine. And I am just dumb enough that I read it cover to cover. And then she got me to subscribe to it because she knew she was moving away. And so I subscribed to it for a year. I'm kind of over it because it's all about who's marrying who and who's separated from what dress and who wore what, you know, swimming trunks and all that kind of thing. Because winter's coming, January, February, so we'll go be in swimming trunks in the Bahamas or something. I've never bought a tabloid, and I have nothing against people that buy tabloids at the market. I read every cover as I go through the checkout stand. I know what it's going to be, but I've never purchased one. I think maybe once we did in seminary as a joke. But people can buy those and read them, and it's great, it's fine. But I was thinking UFOs and Martians. How many of you have ever seen an angel with or without the halo, with or without the wings? I think you have, and you haven't been aware of it, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Strange beings, okay, who then give strange things like, you're with child. Nice way to say, you're pregnant. The word you couldn't say 50 years ago from the pulpit. You're with child. Do not be afraid. How can this be? She knew biology, 101. Poor Mary, how can this be? It can't be. Don't blame me. I've never been with a man. And he says, well, but the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And with God, nothing is impossible. Okay. And theologians for 2,000 years have done somersaults about how this could be. How could this little girl, okay, teenager, I think, 16, 17, 18, 19 years old, much older looking on the bulletin cover, how could she, you know, be this? And so then the church, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, said that Anna, her mother, was without sin, okay? The Immaculate Conception that they always talk about in the Roman Catholic Church, for which the huge church in Washington, D.C. is beautiful, absolutely beautiful. The Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, if you're ever there, mosaics and a big blue dome, and it's gorgeous, just gorgeous. I went there often. The Shrine of the Immaculate Conception is not Jesus' Immaculate Conception, but Anna's with Mary, not Mary's with Jesus. Okay, but that's a whole other Bible study. 2,000 years they've been arguing. Angels. Mary had one visit her, shepherds having angels visit them. And so much so that they become the first missionaries. I mean, that's the miracle. Forget the baby Jesus and the Immaculate Conception and all that kind of stuff and that kind of thing. The shepherds, the UPS men and women, drivers, went and started telling them all that the angels had told them. How many of you, if you had a UPS driver come to your front door and hand you a package and say, oh, by the way, glory to God in the highest heaven, the angels came to me and said that I should tell you about Jesus. I'm an old preacher. I'd shut the door. Don't need the package. Don't need the message. The amazing thing is that the shepherds of all people were the first good news of Jesus Christ. The shepherds are the ones that were brave enough when the angels had gone to heaven to say to each other, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's taking place, which the Lord has made known to us. They're out in the fields. It was a trek. It was a hike. But they did it. They did it. And I think they were good Hebrew people. They were understanding that, you know, Messiah was coming and all that kind of thing. At least that's my prejudice.
Angels have always been through the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. Angels took the place in the life and ministry of Jesus. They fed Jesus when he's in the wilderness. Angels spoke to Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. We heard that today. Angels ministered to Jesus when he was in the wilderness. Angels rolled away the stone. The women went to prepare the dead body and spices with myrrh. Why did the wise men bring myrrh? Prophecy of his death. They brought myrrh to prepare the body, and the stone was rolled away. Who rolled away the stone? Not the frightened Roman centurions, guards. It was angels who rolled them away. Angels have been with us all of our lives. Because what angel means in the Hebrew is messenger of God. Anyone who sends a Christmas card saying, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Anyone who shares the story with a family member across the breakfast table, you're a messenger of God. You are an angel. You may not have a halo. You may not have wings. I wish I had. The seraphim have, and I'm going to get it wrong because I'm in the pulpit. Cherubim and seraphim. I think the cherubim are the ones that have six wings. Ask me about that at coffee hour. They don't have just two wings. They have six wings. It's like, woohoo! They're like a dragonfly or some bumblebee or something. I don't know. We've always had angels in our midst, messengers of God. But whether we listen to them or not, I wouldn't listen to the UPS man or woman. I wouldn't listen to the shepherds. What tabloids have you been reading? What UFOs have you seen in the sky? A choir of heavenly hosts saying glory to God in the highest? Really? You got any weed or mushrooms out there in the field? Huh? You're seeing things. But that's what it is. Angels are still at work today. Angels are presence of God's ministry in our midst. And if you want, you can call me an angel. No one's ever called me that, including my family, especially my sister, my mother, and my father. Forget that. They're there to assist us and protect us and deliver us as the people of God. Angels interpret God's will and God's word. That's what they're doing in today's lessons. Luke 1 and 2, go home and read the whole thing. Angels are God's ministers who enable us to press on toward the goal and the prize of the fancy language here, in Christ Jesus, and thus realize our hope. That's what the bottom line here is for Mary and Joseph and for the shepherds and for all of us this morning. Thank you for being here this morning. Okay? There's reasons we did this morning, and you're all here. Thank you. Hopefully we'll have 8 times more people tonight, but we'll see. Roads are still icy. Hasn't melted yet. But there's hope. That's the bottom line. That's been our whole theme. I choose hope. For 2023, that was our whole theme as a congregation. I choose hope. When there's wars in Sudan and Gaza and Israel, when there's hunger and famine, when a Lutheran church in Bethlehem, of all places, puts the baby not in a manger, a feed trough, that we might come and eat and drink his body and blood, but puts him on a pile of rubble like he was a corpse. We can't forget our brothers and sisters around the world for whom they might not have any hope. Because that's what today is all about. Be not afraid. Do not be afraid, Mary, because there's hope. Joseph won't divorce you. They were engaged, by the way, and you could get a divorce even being engaged back then, 2,000 years ago. Joseph won't divorce you. He'll be shepherds. There's hope because the Messiah has been born in Bethlehem, the city of David. And what does Bethlehem mean in Hebrew? You know that, and I've heard it, and I've told it before. Bethlehem in Hebrew means the house of bread. Where do they lay the bread of life? In a manger, a feed trough. Where do we receive the bread of life? At the banquet table. The body and blood of Christ given and shed for you. That's the importance of that. That's why we're doing it this morning. That's why we're doing it this evening. I had a number of people call me the past 2 weeks saying, are we going to have communion? Especially last week. I had 152 people in church like that. Because we had more than just 2 children here. Thank you, Charlie and Victoria, for being here. You're all children of God, so there you go. But 152 people in church, and I had people say, are we going to have communion on Sunday? I said, well, of course we are. Really? I said, sometimes that's the only time people eat communion in a year's time. The children's program Sunday. The bread of life was laid in a feed trough, a manger, for animals. You and I are animals. You can tell me what kind of animal you are. The bread of life is laid on the banquet table, given and shed for you that you might have what? Hope. Read the lessons again. Read the prayers today. That word hope for all has been a key word in the prayers of the church and in the lessons in that. Yes, there's war. Yes, there's famine. Yes, we have people dying in the hospital today and dying in their homes today. I keep waiting for the phone call today. Pastor, come over. It's happened. But in the midst of death and dying and war and famine, there's hope. And not just because some angels with halos and wings, six of them, came and said, "Glory to God in the highest. Do not be afraid." It's because God is with us. God is with us in the war, in the famine, in death. God is with us, Emmanuel. And that's the gift. The gift to Mary, the gift to Joseph, bless him, on the cover of the bulletin. 30-some-year-old artwork, yeah, used to be a Christmas card. Don't know the artist, I wish I did. That's the gift given to you and me. Not only this morning on the fourth Sunday of Advent, Angel Sunday, but tonight, all of a sudden we morph from fourth Sunday of Advent, angels, into Easter, yeah, Easter Eve. Can you tell where I'm at? I've been thinking Lent. Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve is tonight, oh boy. And we'll have candlelight, and we'll have communion, and we'll sing all the Christmas songs we have. We sang angel songs today. I don't know if you caught on to that, but angel songs. And rejoice, rejoice, do not be afraid. There's a reason for that. How many angels have visited you at your front door? Knocked on it, rang the doorbell. How many angels have given you hope in your life? Or better yet, are you an angel yourself giving hope to others? Amen.
Our God is
I wish Marion Hudnall was here from Idaho Falls this morning. She is every Sunday morning, but ice and snow and accidents again on Thursday on the interstate. I told her to stay home, be safe. For those of you that look at the bulletin and read for typos, I typed the bulletin then. It's a Christmas present. Okay, the hymn that we just sang. Now, take home the bulletin and look that up. It's a Christmas present. It's a joke. Ha, ha, ha. But, yeah. Whether you get it or not, it's a joke. The song, I'll read it to you. I can see blank looks. Hark! The angel herald. That was the name of one of the angels. Herald. Hark the angel herald sings. Is it hark the herald? Yeah. Okay, you get it. You're smiling now. He's such a goofy pastor. I invite you to rise for the confession of faith. The Apostles' Creed, found on page 105 in the front of the hymnal. I worked hard on that joke. Page 105, yeah, that's even more funny, right? Yeah, that's why I'm not Checky Green. We're not on stage. Page 105, the Apostles' Creed. We confess our faith in these same words. God has made us the people of God through our baptism into Christ, living together in trust and in hope. We confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today in the prayers of the church, remember in our prayers in the church, Reverend Elizabeth Eaton, our Bishop of the National Church, Reverend Megan Manlove, who will be visiting with us the first week in January, of our synod. We pray for Southeastern Idaho Community Action Agency, SECA, this whole month of December. Nationally and around the world, we certainly pray, as I mentioned in the sermon, for the war in Ukraine, Russia, Sudan, Gaza, and Israel. We pray for all people who have lost property and life. I've heard that 1 in 15 people, the statistic now is 1 in 15 people in Palestine have been killed because of the war, which is just unbelievable to me. We pray for all firefighters, law enforcement officers, EMTs, and first responders, medical personnel to all of these crises, including natural ones. Across our nation, we've had people that have been involved with hurricanes and earthquakes, and we pray for them with the loss of their home during this holiday season. The past couple days, I've been at the hospital visiting patients and that, and every time I go in, I thank the nurses and the LPNs and the staff, even the custodians, for working over the holiday, because I know what that's like to work over the holiday and to care for people. So I thank them for that. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, and for all of God's creation, and for all people who are in need. Almighty God, we pray for the church. With hope and expectation, we await God's coming into the world, not only through a baby in a manger, but through the Holy Spirit daily in our lives. Send us forth, your faithful people, with words of promise, forgiveness, grace, and peace. Lord, hear our prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. All creation signals your presence, O God. Reveal your majesty in hibernating animals, dormant fields, barren trees. Bless them with holy rest. Heal the earth where it longs for renewal. Bring wholeness and goodness to the earth and all your creatures. Lord, hear our prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations of the world. You desire peace and justice in the world. Let the nations tremble at your holy presence, that justice and liberation prevail in all corners of the earth. Provide relief for those in war-torn areas of the world. Take from us all hatred, fear, evil, violence, and war. Instead, let us show mercy, compassion, love, and hope to one another. Lord, hear our prayer.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Merciful God, we pray for all those in need as we enter into these holy days of Christmas, the 12 days of Christmas. Comfort comfort your people and bring healing to all who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit, especially those we lift up in our own hearts and in our own mind. Be with those who look to you for hope and healing. Be with those who are depressed, grieving, lonely, or isolated. Give patience to those waiting for answers. Grant hope to those who have reached the limits of treatment. Give compassionate hearts to those who accompany loved ones through illness and uncertainty. Lord, hear our prayer.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Lord God of creation, we give you thanks for St. Jonathan's and Church and all the ministries we are faithfully a part of. We give you thanks for all the gifts and resources you provide for us to minister to one another. Fill us anew with your spirit, your joy, your love, your new life, and your hope. Lord, hear our prayer.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Lord of life, we pray for all those who have died. We give you thanks for all those who now rest in you, especially those we remember in our own hearts and minds. Give us calm and peaceful hearts. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our joy and our celebration for the lives of those whom we love. Turn our mourning into the joy and hope in you. Lord, hear our prayer.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Almighty God, you know our prayers even before we pray them. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you'll do far more for us than we can ever ask or imagine. All these things, whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated.
Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to worship service at St. John's Lutheran Church, Miracle Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year is the fourth Sunday of Advent, the fourth Sunday of the new church year. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday this week to Larry Sims, Sawyer Grover, Brenda Carter, Michael Gallegos, Jameson Taylor, Jacqueline Taylor, Melanie Kress, Jeff Winberg, and Kelsey George. Happy anniversary this week to Jim and Debbie Teedy, Tyler and Haley Rowe. Christmas Eve candlelight worship service will be tonight at 7 p.m. All are welcome from the congregation and the community. And I think there's some more announcements.
I said this a couple of years ago about a TV special that was on The Chosen. I don't know how many of you went home and looked that up and figured it out. But now you can find it on Prime Video. And there's three seasons, and the fourth season will be coming out in February. But this Christmas, they put out a Christmas special. The gentleman that created the series, it's about the disciples and such, first film was, I think it was The Messenger, and it was about the shepherds. And then the next year he created another one. They're two little shorts of the Christmas story. This year they combined them and put some music in it and such. You can find it on Prime Video, The Chosen, Holy Night, and I think I saw it on CW. I don't think Netflix has it, but if you search for it, you'll be able to find it, The Chosen, Holy Night. Let me just prepare you. The first 30 minutes is music. It's Christmas music, so if you like the music, you're fine. If not, just fast forward 30 minutes, and then you'll get into the actual movie part of it, the things. And it was very much the sermon today, of the angels coming and that sort of thing, and hit and their depiction of what happens. It's a very moving story. It's very realistic. And if you're like me, a visual learner, I mean, the words are wonderful. I love words. But when I can hear the words and then put it to a picture, then it's, you know, it stays implanted in my brain. So anyway, I encourage you to look that up, The Chosen, Holy Night. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty. I invite the communion assistants and acolytes to come forward at this time to prepare for Holy Communion. Our offertory hymn, 82, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful, Lord. We sing it now as our offertory hymn and in preparation for Holy Communion.
prepared, come. The body of Christ given to you. 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 The body of Christ given to you.
Please rise for the blessing, the post-communion canticle, hymn number 208, and the prayer. The blessing first. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his peace. Amen. Hymn 208. Love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus, who is the Christ our Lord.
Amen.
keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christmas Eve celebration now is hymn number 267, Joy to the World. Hymn 267.
Thank you.